Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Idea Park, a new media agency nurturing online relationships between you and your most valuable customers. Online at ideapark.com.
Consolidation at the drugstore.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Drugstore chain Rite Aid is closing in on a deal to buy two rivals, Eckerd and Brooks. They're both owned by a Canadian company, and reports on the price Rite Aid's willing to pay them range from $2.5 to $3.5 billion. Walgreens and CVS are still the two big players in the drugstore market, but if this deal goes through, Rite Aid will wind up with another 1,800 locations to add to the 3,300 it already has. A British businessman indicted for fraud in the United States could be brought here in chains. That despite the fact that he's offered to travel voluntarily to face the charges in the U.S. The case has reignited the controversy in Britain about an extradition treaty between the U.K. and America, as Stephen Beard reports.
The businessman is a former director of the San Diego-based software company Peregrine Systems. His name, rather unfortunate in the circumstances, is Jeremy Crook. He's been charged, along with former American colleagues, of defrauding shareholders. At the request of the U.S. authorities, his passport's been confiscated and he's been told to await formal extradition. Damien Rees of Britain's Daily Telegraph says the U.S. seems intent on publicly humiliating him.
He's willing to travel to the U.S. voluntarily. There's no need for chains. There's no need for leg irons. But unfortunately, in this case, he is going to have to go through the whole extradition process.
Rees is campaigning against the US-UK extradition treaty, which, he says, gives the US disproportionate power to secure the extradition of British citizens. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
An ethical debate is brewing online in China. It has to do with the nation's most famous kung fu monk and cash. Marketplace's Jocelyn Ford reports.
Monks from Shaolin Temple are known for their austere lifestyle and hard training. So should the abbot of the Shaolin Temple accept a luxury sports car valued at $125,000? The local government gave him the car as a reward for boosting tourism. A majority of netizens say the gift is not appropriate for a spiritual leader. Other religious leaders are also under fire. Monk Tenzin is a Tibetan Buddhist from China's far west. He says tourism and donations from ethnic Chinese believers have brought riches to many Tibetan monasteries.
Monks who will spend their time on the enjoyment, like a nice house and a fancy life, like a car, maybe cell phone, maybe.
He believes many monks fail to find a balance between spirituality and worldliness. But he says some monasteries are also using the extra income for good deeds, like building schools and orphanages. In Beijing, I'm Jocelyn Ford for Marketplace.
The new phone book for the city of New Orleans is out, and as you can imagine, it's smaller than last year's. Half as small, in fact. It was once two big books, now it's just one. Of course, the makeup of the listings have changed, too. The general contractors section of the Yellow Pages has more than doubled, while listings for beauty salons have been cut almost in half. And on Wall Street Wednesday, the Dow closed down 42 to 11,297. The NASDAQ was down 15 and the S&P was down 6. And you are listening to Marketplace. If all you want for Christmas is the new operating system from Microsoft, you're out of luck. Jason Parr looks at what the House of Gates is doing to salvage the season.
With the new Vista operating system missing the holiday season, both Microsoft and its partners are worried about the loss of sales. The company hopes that incentives for consumers, such as a free upgrade to Vista when it does arrive, will encourage sales when people's checkbooks are open at the end of the year. But analyst Joe Wilcox of Jupiter Research says that might be a risk for the PC makers.
One way to look at it is, if you offer an incentive, people may just choose not to buy at all. Might push that sale into the next quarter, and then if they buy a big screen TV, whatever, during the holidays, they may not buy at all.
Wilcox says PC makers may just see the holidays as a lost opportunity. Instead, they might just count on the customers who will be buying a new computer regardless of whether or not it has the new operating system. In Seattle, I'm Jason Parr from Marketplace.
And this is the Marketplace Morning Report from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Medtronic, partnering with physicians, patients, and diabetes educators to provide better glucose control for long-term diabetes management. Information available at Medtronic.com. And by the Duke Executive MBA, developing leaders and accelerating careers around the world with 4 top-ranked executive MBA programs for working professionals. DukeExecutiveMBA.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Lisa Napoli. Nearly a third of Israel's agricultural producers have taken a hit from the war. Now, those farmers are trying to start up again, rehiring workers and ramping up production. Hillary Krieger says for some, it's a more complicated proposition.
These are the cows of Kibbutz Amir that survived the summer's war. Their collective farm lies just 7 kilometers south of the Lebanese border. During the fighting, a Hezbollah rocket landed on their shed, killing 50 of the other cows.
It was like a massacre. When I came there, I see cows without legs, half of the cows, burning of the cow. I can show you a picture, but I don't want you gonna lose your appetite.
Roni Litbak, who manages the farm, was released from the Israeli army to tend to his cows following the attack. He knows every cow by name, so for him the loss is personal, and also financial. He figures the farm lost $200,000, or 80% of its profits, from the rocket damage, dead cows, and lost productivity. The farmers were mostly confined to bomb shelters, which meant less milking, and because the cows were terrified, they produced less milk.
During the war, they was all the time in stress. Sometimes you can see them running inside the farm like lunatic because of the bombing.
Milk wasn't the only agricultural product affected by the violence. Chickens, scared by the blasts of the Hezbollah missiles and Israeli artillery, laid fewer eggs. Many of those were then broken by anxious hens shaking their cages. Leah Moore's chicken coops and fruit orchards are on the Lebanese border.
We simply didn't have quiet for a single minute. All the time you'd be sitting and then suddenly there would be a boom. It was scary, and if we were scared all the time, so were the birds.
At least Moore's chickens will start laying eggs again. Her orchards are a different matter. Moore estimates over $100,000 in damage because she couldn't water, spray, or harvest her trees. It could take 4 years for them to recover.
This is an enormous, enormous loss. It was the absolute peak of the season, and we couldn't harvest anything.
In the meantime, Moore and her family gather the remaining fruit to give to the soldiers stationed nearby. Across the north, 4,000 farmers suffered financially from the war. The agriculture ministry estimates a $100 million hit. Even before the rocket stopped falling, the government had drawn up a plan for compensation. Yustai Bleier is the Secretary General of the Israeli Farmers Federation.
This isn't the first time we've had a war, so unfortunately, we've also gained a lot of experience on the issue of compensation.
Thanks to government aid in a short war, farmers like Litbak are confident that they and their cows will recover.
It's not going to break us. It's not going to make us fall. We're going to cover it. It's going to take time, but we're going to do it.
In northern Israel, this is Hillary Krieger for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
In today's economic climate, there's only one.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.